Track 6. This is Brian Gall back at the sports desk to bring you the latest news. We usually start with cricket, and where better this week than with England's magnificent victory in the final of the Women's World Cup on Sunday. Lord's Cricket Ground, which refused even to admit women as members until the end of the 20th century, was full to the brim on this occasion, and the stands rose as one to greet a famous victory which had looked, only minutes before the end, as though it was going to be a defeat. England had already played India right at the start of this competition and had lost, and for a time on Sunday it looked that history would repeat itself. England skipper Heather Knight won the toss and chose to bat first, but it did not seem to me that they scored runs quickly enough. Wickets fell fairly steadily, but I thought our girls' eventual total from the 50 overs of 228 for 7 might not be enough. India, in reply, after the loss of one of their opening bats, were able to pace their reply accordingly, and with a score of 191 for 3, with almost 8 overs remaining in which to score the required 38 runs for victory, they looked assured of the win. But at that point, England's Anya Shrubsole took a hand. Her seam bowling removed the previously immovable Indian opening bat Rout, LBW for 86, and she then demolished the remainder of the innings, including one with a run-out, in just 19 balls to leave a shell-shocked Indian team all out for 219. So, England won the match by 9 runs to add to a series of narrow victories in this tournament. They'd already beaten Australia by 3 runs and South Africa by 2 wickets with 2 balls to spare. Shrubsole's wicket haul of 6 for 46 in the final was a record for the Women's World Cup and must surely help establish England women's cricket as a highlight for both young girls keen on sport and for the general public as a spectator sport. Hopefully, it'll also mean that our top women players, who were all still amateurs until just a few years ago, will at last make decent money from the game. In the Worcestershire County League at the weekend, rain caused a few problems and the infamous Duckworth-Lewis method of calculating a run chase came into effect at several of the matches. One of the beneficiaries was the Pedmore Club, who were visiting Droitwich. The home side batted first and scored a total of 152, but Pedmore were set a revised target of 80-odd to win, and they plundered those runs off just 8 and a bit overs to record their third successive win, and I'm pleased to report they're climbing away from the danger zone at the foot of the league table as a result. However, rain did not come to the rescue of Hagley, who were all out for only 113 in their match against Starport, who needed only 28 overs to win that encounter by 6 wickets. Meanwhile, in the second division, both our local representatives, Old Swinford and Bell Broughton, had a frustrating day. The former lost quite heavily against Breeden, while Bell Broughton's match against Chadsley Corbett was abandoned as a draw once rain interrupted and allowed no further play. Another short note on cricket. In the NatWest T20 Blast competition, that's a 20 overs a side, see how many runs you can blatter. I don't really call it cricket, but it seems to draw in the crowds. Worcestershire's Ross Whiteley became only the 5th batsman in top-level world cricket to score 6 sixes in a single over. He achieved this feat in last weekend's match against Yorkshire, where the unfortunate bowler at the receiving end was a leg spinner, Yorkshire's Carl Carver. But despite the Worcestershire man's effort, he scored 65 runs altogether in his innings, Yorkshire still won the match. In the Speedway news this week, the Wolverhampton team recorded their third defeat in a row when they went down by 53 points to 40 at the league leaders, Bellevue. The Wolves were never in the hunt in this match, apart from their Aussie ace Sam Masters, who was head and shoulders above his teammates and alone accounted for very nearly half the total points scored by the Wolves. The others were also rounds. Even the usually mighty Freddie Lindgren had a quiet evening and won only one heat. Wolves have slipped a bit in the league after those 3 successive losses, but they have a chance to claw something back this evening when they're in action in an away fixture against Leicester. As far as the Cradley Heathens are concerned, their big news story this week is that they are submitting a planning application to Sandwell Council for a stadium of their own in Oldbury. They have been searching to find a place where they could install their own track after years sharing the facilities at both the Birmingham Club's track at Perry Bar and the Wolves at Monmore Green. The club are hoping the Oldbury venture will succeed, but it could prove a long battle with the planning authorities as Speedway is not exactly a silent sport. On the track itself, Heathen celebrated the news of a possible new racetrack with a big win last weekend against Stoke, although they took a while to get going, and it was only in the final heats that they stretched away to win by 54 points to 35. When I was summarising the results from Wimbledon last week, I missed recording that Jordan Whiley from Hales Owen won the women's wheelchair doubles title alongside her Japanese partner Yue Kamiji. It was Jordan's fourth consecutive women's doubles title. She's won the singles as well in past years, but this time she was knocked out of that in the quarterfinals. But still, winning the doubles with her partner was her 50th double win overall in her tennis career. Golf is one sport that I don't follow closely, but I do usually watch at least some of the action during the four so-called major tournaments, one of which, the Open, took place last week at Birkdale. This is reputed to be the world's oldest championship, and I believe this one was the 147th, so we'll be heading for big celebrations, no doubt, in 3 years' time. This year's championship title went to the American golfer, Jordan Spieth, who won in the end by a three-short margin from fellow American Matt Kuchar. Spieth lined up on the final morning three shots ahead of Kuchar and had looked pretty assured over the preceding 3 days, during the majority of which he had led the field. However, it was not all plain sailing on the last day. Spieth had a dip in which he lost the lead midway through the final round. The pair of them were nip and tuck, but in the end Spieth's calmness under fire prevailed and he surged away with a magnificent hitting over the final few holes to pull ahead and win the title, always referred to as the claret jug, which is awarded to the winner, by the same margin, 3 strokes, with which he'd started the day. Sad to say, no British competitors challenged this year. Best of them was Rory McIlroy, who finished 7 shots behind the winner after 4 rounds of golf when he never hit the heights he once used to achieve in finishing the tournament 5th equal. Matthew Southgate, 1 shot behind McIlroy, was the only other British competitor to finish amongst the top 10. But well down the list of finishers, on a total of 6 over par for the tournament, was a 25-year-old British ex-postman, Alfie Plant, who won the silver medal for being the top amateur player to finish. He gave up his job recently to concentrate on golf, and he intends to turn professional after the Walker Cup tournament, for which he's a member of the Great Britain team, in September. If he'd been professional already, he'd have won about £20,000 for his efforts last week. Now for some swimming news from the World Aquatics Championships, and they have started in Budapest, and Team GB have made an excellent start. In fact, the event is already becoming the Adam Peaty Championships, for the Briton retained his world championship title in the 100 metres breaststroke event on Monday, and then in the heats of the 50 metres breaststroke he broke his own world record by 0.3 seconds. What that may mean for his performance in the final of the 50 metres, who knows? In the 100 metres, Peaty has recorded the 10 fastest times recorded by anyone in the world during his career, and he is, of course, also the Olympic champion. However, he says his chief aim now, apart, of course, from winning the 50 metres final in Budapest this week, focuses on achieving 100 metres in less than 57 seconds. That's never been done. His own world record in the event is 57.13 seconds. And there was another gold medal for Team GB thanks to Ben Proud, who won the 50 metres butterfly race by the tiny margin of 0.04 of a second. It was the first time a GB swimmer has won this event at the World Championships. Chris Froome did duly as expected and won the Tour de France, riding triumphantly down the Champs-Élysées in Paris on Sunday afternoon at the head of his Team Sky squad. His winning margin this year, 54 seconds after more than 2,000 miles of cycling uphill and down dale, was his narrowest yet, but Froome says that at the age of 32 he still has several more years left of competitive cycling. He'll be off to the Tour of Spain next month to try and prove it. Froome actually excels at time trials. These are part of these marathon cycling events, being relatively short sections on mostly fairly flat roads where the riders go off one by one at 1 minute intervals and try to be the fastest to cover the distance. This year, the Tour de France included only 3 such trials, far fewer than usual, an attempt to restrict Froome's advantage over the other riders. But he won all 3 of those time trials, which helped his overall victory in the Tour. In tennis, no major tournaments this past week and no news of Andy Murray's progress from injury either. We still don't know when he may be back in action. But there's a story in the press that Novak Djokovic is also suffering. Apparently, he's been instructed by his medical team to rest the elbow of his serving arm, and he may be out of action for at least 12 weeks, which would certainly mean his missing the US Open tournament, the last of this year's major events on the tennis calendar. More immediately on the sporting horizon, on Friday, England take to the field in the third test match against South Africa after their substantial loss when these sides met 10 days ago. News of that on next week's Sports Report, and I will also be looking forward to the World Athletics Championships, which start in London on Friday the 4th of August. I really enjoy track and field sport, and I'm very much looking forward to this event. But that's all for this week, so until next time, it's goodbye from Brian Gall.